Hallelujah. I'm going to continue talking a little bit about the theme from this morning, which I guess is really ever since the conference, one thing I've really been talking about is obeying the Lord through what He says to you. And this morning we talked about, used the example from Mark 4, when they received a right now, present hour speaking from the Lord. Let us go into the other side. It was an assignment for them. It was definitely the will of God. So they set out to go into the other side, and just like He had warned them, when you get a word from God, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. He comes to stop you. And so a big storm came. You know, I've heard all kinds of preaching about that storm, you know, and trying to imply that it was from God and all kinds of things, you know. Jesus never did anything that was not the will of God. I mean, what are you telling me? That God sent the storm? God the Father sent the storm? God the Son stopped it? Come on, what are you saying? No, He was illustrating that principle that when you set out to obey God, and you've heard Him, and you set out to obey Him, there's going to be an enemy come. And I like those, I didn't write down those myself, those six things, but the first thing you got to learn is when those storms come, it's really not about you. We saw in Mark chapter 4, it's not really, the enemy hates you, but that storm has not really come to stop you. It's come for the word's sake. It's come to stop the word. Do y'all remember what happened when they got to the other side? Y'all remember what happened? Not the madman of Gadara? Guy that Satan had so completely captured that he had to live in the graveyard and would cut himself with stones. And the enemy didn't want that guy set free. You know, his testimony later, he went all through the land of Gadara telling what great things the Lord had done for him. That guy was part of revival for that region, see? So, well, of course the enemy's going to try and stop that. And whatever the Lord says to you, he's going to try and his best to stop you. So let's start tonight in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look at starting in verse 5 and 6. Very common, well-known scripture, but it's a good place to start. Now, you got to remember, prophet in the Old Testament, that this scripture is primarily designed for people who were spiritually dead. They did not have the witness on the inside of them. God was not able to write His law in their hearts and in their minds yet because they did not have that nature which is from God. So how they knew right from wrong was from the law. Remember the guy in Romans 7 where he says, I wouldn't have known it was wrong to covet, except your law said, thou shalt not covet. In other words, to a spiritually dead man, he doesn't know that sin is wrong. It seems right, you know. That's why your flesh gives you so much war. I was just talking with a man, counseling with a man that got born again during the conference, and I got to talk with him a few days ago. And how's it going, you know? And, well, okay, I love the Lord. And he says, but ever since I got saved, he said, I'm in this constant battle. And I said, he says, it's like this war's going on the inside of me all the time. And I'm going, good. That's a good sign you really got saved. He said, well, things that didn't used to bother me all of a sudden. He says, it's like my whole life before. I can't do anything. And I'm going, good. There's a new nature that come on the inside of the guy that's telling him what's right, telling him what's wrong. Come to find out, he was doing a whole bunch of wrong and didn't know it. Well, that's the whole point. So here, when we read these verses here, you got to keep that in mind, how God was dealing with spiritually dead people. He had given them the law. So when it says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, how would they trust in the Lord? They didn't have that voice on the inside of them like you have. Only the prophet, only the priest, only the king, and only on occasion. Like the priest, once a year could go into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God. They didn't have it on a day-by-day basis. So when it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and all thy ways acknowledge Him, how would you do that? Well, when the Bible says, when the Word of God to them said, thou shalt not covet, then thou shalt not covet. Yeah, but... Or how about this one? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's take the old man. Here he goes. But Lord, have you seen her? Everything in me thinks it'd be good, you know, Lord, to commit that sin with that woman. God, everything. What? And God says, no, thou shalt not commit adultery. But at that point, you got to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean, your own understanding says, yeah, yeah. But you got to depart from that. So that's what it really meant. See, look at verse 7. It continues on. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Yeah, but she's really smoking hot, God. I mean, really. Like, you said, Gary, you're 66. Shut up. I didn't always look like this. And I got a smoking hot wife myself. Okay, I'm telling you. All right. Anyway, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Can you see the context? But now, that's not the only way that it was used in the Old Testament. Now, we're going to talk about Abraham for a minute. The faith of Abraham for a man under that covenant that did not have the new nature on the inside of him, that man's faith, no wonder God found a friend when he found Abraham. He really astounds me how, two things. Number one, how certain he was that he heard God. Boy, when he heard God, he staked his whole life on it. You know, archaeology, I like to watch Discovery Channel and archaeology and history and that type of thing. And they did I was watching a archaeology program one day, and they had done excavations in the city of Ur of the Chaldees. And they had actually found Abraham's ancestral home, where he grew up probably as a little boy. Come to find out, his parents were wealthy. He was probably in line to become a lawyer or a man of prominence in that region. If he'd have stayed in Ur of the Chaldees, he probably had fame and fortune type life awaiting him there. It was a city at that time. He didn't grow up country. He grew up urban in a city environment. Yet when God came and spoke to him and said, I want you to leave all of this, leave your family, and go into a land that I shall show you, doesn't even tell him where he's going. Doesn't tell him what's going to be there when you get there. And Abraham, he believed that he heard God. He was so confident that even though if I stay here, I mean, I know what's here. I'm going to have prominence. I'm going to have a wealth, and I'm going to have influence in this city. But God, if that's what you say, that's what I'm going to do. Goes, you know what he does find when he gets there? Famine. Any of you ever obey God and you thought, sure, when you got there, it was all the blessings were going to be right there? I'm thinking of Paul and Silas right now. They definitely heard God. Remember, I teach out of Acts 16 all the time how they thought they were going to go to Asia. They thought they might go to Bithynia. So they pray and they really hear God. They know for sure they're supposed to go to Macedonia. I mean, absolutely. And when they get there, they don't do anything wrong. You know, they don't gamble. They don't steal. There's no record of anything where they missed it at all. And they deliver this woman from a demonic spirit, and they preach the word, and people get saved. And so their reward, what is they get to where God sent them, and what do they find? Imprisonment in the stocks and beatings. And what do they do? Not like Gary would probably. You know, how does Dave say that? My lower lip would be interfering with the gas pedal. Oh God, I obeyed you. I heard you. I followed you, God. And I got to this land and now I'm in prison. My back hurts. No. What they learned to do is at midnight, and that's got to signify the darkest hour, you know, midnight. They lifted their voice. They sang hymns and worshiped God, and they didn't do it quietly. It says the whole prison heard them singing, and the prison doors shook open. God, I feel the anointing right now. I feel like running myself. Glory to God. You got to learn to hear God and obey God, and it's not always pie in the sky when you get there. But boy, you will fulfill His calling on your life. Amen? Amen? Well, let's talk about Abraham, because you talk about trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Abraham, to me, is one of the ultimate champions. Now go to Hebrews 11 for just a minute, because we're really talking about, you know, the last three services that I did, we called them something real wonderful, like, what was that we called it? Practical Aspects of Waiting on God. You know, real lame title, but it's really good stuff. And what we're talking about there is these words that specifically from the Lord, right now, present hour, speaking of the Lord, that came during the conference. So this is the will of the Lord for us. You know, and I read those, and it's so easy to hear them and just let it pass by. And then a year later, another conference rolls around, and your life hasn't changed very much. And you think, God, if you just talk to me, God. God, if you just speak to me. And he's going, I spoke to you during the conference. I'm not looking at anybody for any particular. I spoke to you during the conference, and you just act like you didn't even hear me. So we're trying to learn to act on what he says and really, really do what he says. Well, sometimes when you hear from the Lord and you really hear from him and you obey him, did you know further down the road you may get another word from the Lord that seems to contradict what he said the first time? You say, no. No, that's got to be the devil. How does Dave say that? The devil. That's got to be the devil. God would never contradict himself, and you're right. What happens there is you get a measure of your faith, because God doesn't change. You'll see what I mean here in a minute. Hebrews 11. Did I tell you where to go? Let's look at verse 17. Let's look at the faith of Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in other words, God had already told him, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Okay, now let's stop right there for a minute. You know the promise, not only did God tell Abraham to go to Ur of the Chaldees, God also told him he's going to have a son, him and Sarah were going to have a child born of their own loins. Well, they never did, and time kept going by, and finally, Abraham's about 100 years old and Sarah's about 90, if I remember correctly. Plainly tells us that Sarah had got to that age where it was past the time of the way of women. And we also know a little bit about Abraham, that he wasn't such a hot rod anymore himself, because when God said, about a year from now, you're going to have a baby, he said, Sarah laughed. And she said, shall I have pleasure from my husband again? That tells us a little bit about him. So in the natural, there was no hope. Romans chapter 4. Paul talks about that. It says, Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. See, in the natural, there was no hope. But in God, there was hope. How was there hope in God? Based on what God had said. So you know that Abraham and Sarah both, it says in the same chapter, Sarah also received strength to receive seed. So both of them put their faith. Now, so let's link this up. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. They did exactly that. They trusted in the Lord. And you know what happened here? Isaac is born. You remember when God first told him about him going to have a son? He had him go out and look at the stars at night. Abraham, can you count those stars? Man, I have been there in the desert, driving those trucks on a starry night. When you get out in between the cities and there's no lights, you can see so more deep into the sky. There's no way you could count them. In all your lifetime, you couldn't count them. And that's only the northern hemisphere. There's another whole hemisphere you can't even see, you know. And Abraham is, no. So here God has told him the promise. Let's keep it real simple. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him Isaac. And you're going to have so many descendants through that boy, through him. Those descendants, here's a picture for you. Look at those stars. You're going to have descendants through him like that. So Abraham's got that promise on the inside. Has he got the word of God or not? And Isaac, sure enough, is born. Now, Isaac's growing up, and if I remember right, at about age 19, now don't write me any letters, it's close to there, but roughly, he's 19, he's not a little boy anymore, but he's never had any children. He's not married yet. He's not even had one child. And God says, take him up to the mountaintop and offer him as a burnt offering. Why? Is that not a word that seems to contradict itself? God, you said what? I can't imagine the mental gyrations that Abraham must have gone through, thinking about what God's saying here now. But again, that faith of Abraham, two things about Abraham. He was so sure that he heard God. As far as I can tell, he always did. He heard the Lord. And secondly, if God said it, I am going to do it. Talk about trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So he began thinking about this. Because now here's the thing. Abraham knew this thing about God. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. I love how Dave does that when he's teaching us. He says, no, you're not getting it. No, it's not that he can't lie. It's not that he will not lie. He cannot. He cannot. It's impossible. Cannot lie. So Abraham, he's thinking, well, now God said that through this boy, my seed is going to number like the stars of heaven. God said that. And my boy, he's 19 or so now, but he's not married. He doesn't have any kids. And now God's off asking me to offer him as a sacrifice. What in the world's going on here? And we're not told how long Abraham pondered on this. Not very long, I can tell you that, because he started out for the mountain pretty quick to do this. The next verse tells you how he was able to do what God said. So look at verse 19. Accounting. Boy, that's a good word. Accounting. How do you account something? You compute it. He computed in his mind. He contemplated, he meditated, and he came to this calculation that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he, Abraham, received him, Isaac, in a figure. He saw it. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. He exercised faith in an image. He was going to obey God. And he says, God, this God cannot lie. My children are going to number like the stars. They are going to come through Isaac. He's asking me to put Isaac to death. God's going to have to raise him from the dead. And you know, God used that same faith of Abraham for God to raise his son from the dead. God used that same faith later in the New Testament to raise his son from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, in practical application, on this journey, I've been at this a while now, you guys know. I remember the early days when Sue and I had no ministry. I had finally obeyed God. I wish I had been like Abraham and obeyed God immediately the first time he told me to leave the trucks and go full time. I wish I had obeyed him. I would like to know what that path looked like. I'll never know what that path looked like unless he shows me, because I didn't obey him. So for 10 months, you know, I'm still asking God to teach me and love me, and he did. But I'm in total disobedience. God told me to leave the trucks and go full time, and I didn't do it. Okay, you all know the story. I finally got out on the devil's turf far enough. The devil assaulted me and tried to kill me. And after I come to myself in the hospital, I had a great revelation. I had come to the I calculated in my mind. I did an accounting, and I concluded that it would be in my best interest to obey God. I told Sue, I said, I'm going to have to obey God. I said, this, I can see already, if I don't, the devil's going to kill me out here. I got to get back in the will of God, you know. Of course, I had never told her what God had told me, because I knew what she would have said. She would have told me, if Michael knows her, she'd have told me to obey God, and I knew what she'd say. So anyhow, we did. So now we're obeying God, and we're praying and trusting him. But we still have no ministry. We're out here, just out here now. And my first assignment from the Lord, the one I got from him, was, and he came with very specific instructions. And this is what I like about the Lord. Now, he doesn't always tell you the end from the beginning, but he will tell you enough for the next step. See, that's what he told. Just go into a land I shall show you. Well, what does that mean? Leave. You don't even have to know where you're going. He says, I will show you on the way. But if you don't ever leave, you're not ever going to find. See? Well, I got enough instruction. He told us to start a Bible study in our home, which was pretty easy for me, because Michael, really, that's how he had kind of led that whole group at Professional Home Finders, that real estate company. He had a Bible study at the fellowship room at his apartment building. And so, okay, have a Bible study. But see, the Lord gave us specific instructions. Now, this is, and first off, you need to know this. I came and talked to Pastor Tim and Pastor Dave about it first. Do y'all know how many people? Okay, now I'm not looking. I'm not even talking about this church. I'm not talking about you. But very common. Well, I'm not looking at anybody now. Very common people want to start a little Bible study in a church, and really what they're trying to do is draw away disciples unto themselves. Okay? But now, we had gotten specific instructions from the Lord. When I came and talked to Tim and Dave, I told them what we'd heard. I said, we don't even want anybody here at the church to know about this Bible study. It is not for people at the prayer center. What he told us, he reminded us of people that had gotten saved basically through Michael's ministry all those years before. And they started out on fire for God. You know, like Dave says, you know, in the early days when you're freshly saved and freshly filled and you're going to win the whole world for Jesus, and you go out there and you charge hell with a water pistol and you get your eyebrows singed off a couple of times, and you're not quite so, you know, quick to do that again. Well, that's kind of what had happened to these people over the years, and they'd become very, many of them had become lukewarm. They weren't going to church or doing anything. So he kind of reminded us of that group, and there was about 30 of them. And so that's who we were going to invite to the Bible study. Pastor Tim and Dave both gave their blessing on this and their approval. So we started the Bible study, and I just wrote a letter and printed it and mailed it to all of them and just told them. Now, here's the kind of instructions that I could go back, and I didn't know he was going to have me really do this. I could go back to my notes and get it exactly what he said to me. But here's the kind of thing. When you hear from the Lord, this, at least for me, this is how it happens. He says, I want you to start a Bible study in your home. I want you to invite those people that started out on fire for me when you did. Okay? He says, many of them have become very lukewarm, if I remember correctly, cold and lukewarm, for various reasons. He says, they won't go back to church again because they feel like they got hurt there. But they don't hate me, and they would like to learn about me. And they would come and do that if you would invite them to your home, but make it feel like family and not church. It was along that's not word for word, I'm sure, but that was the gist of it. I knew what he was. Don't make it churchy, you know. Make it family. That's why we always tried to have something to serve them, you know. And we had, you know, I remember the one time we served ginger snaps and tea. We had like $3 or $4 to serve all these people. And so we had ginger snaps and tea. Sue went to Big Lots over here? That big brown bag of ginger snaps. You have seen that out there for like $1. And you could get so much tea. I mean, a whole bunch of tea for like $2. For under $5, we had 30 people coming, you know. Now, we learn later, do not serve tea. Tea is hard to get off the carpet. Serve clear liquids. Sprite is good. 7-Up is good. Okay. Some water is best. You know? But anyway, so we started doing that. And then, okay, and he also told me in those instructions, he said, now they're going to bring some people with them. Now this, some of you will say the Lord would never say this. I'm telling you, it's what he told me. He said, I want you to make the Bible study so simple. Design it for people who could not find the book of Mark with both hands. That's what he told me. That's what he told me. He says, make it to where, when you're thinking about it and getting ready, do it for people that they could not find the book of Mark. Bless his heart. The gentleman that I met the other day who got saved during the Bible studies, I asked him to turn to the book of Galatians. Is that Old Testament, New Testament? You forget. You've been at this for so long, you forget, see? Well, now the reason I'm saying all that is that we obeyed. I wish I'd obeyed quickly and obedient like Abraham, but we started somewhat scared. We started it with nothing, basically. We had no money or anything. Sure enough, people came. Sure enough, they began bringing other people with them. Sure enough, some of them got back on fire for the Lord. Some people got back into church. One of my son-in-laws, married to my middle daughter, got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at that Bible study. Some people got healed. All kinds of things. And really, it was the only thing that I had going in the earth. It's really the only ministry. I was long before I ever started teaching here or doing anything here. And so, you know, so after a while, it became like, how do you say this? I don't think I really would use it. It never became to me like my ministry, but it was the only thing I had going in the earth. It was what we did for the Lord. I identified with it. Let me say it that way. And it went on for like 2 years. And by that time, we're having pretty good success. I mean, Dave accidentally, I think, one time mentioned it from the pulpit. This was after like a year and a half. Dear God. Then we're at now, we got people coming from the prayer center over there. Now we're averaging like 55 people a week, you know, in our living room, which we don't have a big house. I mean, they're sitting Indian style all over the floor, down the hallway. You know, you got, if you want to, if you can see me with the camera, if you need to go to the bathroom, it's like, excuse me, pardon me, you know, like this, trying to get down. Just full cars parked for a city block, both directions. Every week, I figured the neighbors thought, you know, someone died or it was an Amway meeting. I don't know, you know, something. So then after 2 years, okay, you know, and you're starting to get, this is working. This is what has been birthed by obeying God. And I didn't see it this way then. But almost exactly 2 years later, and he didn't give me much notice. Just a few, it was Bible study was that night, just a few hours before the Bible study. He tells me, this is the last Bible study. Seemed to contradict what he said before. And I'm going, I mean, I did not know the Lord then as well as I do now. And I don't ever, okay. Well, I argued with the Lord. Okay. Why? See, I've told you, since then, I've been delivered from why. But I was not delivered from why then. I had 2 or 3, 4 hours. I did go and talk with Sue, and I said, Sue, has the Lord said anything to you about this being the last night of the Bible study? She said, no. I didn't know anything about tonight being the last night, but she said, I have a knowing on the inside, and I've known for a little while that it was coming to an end. I said, he told me this is the last one. Well, so for 2 or 3 hours, why, God, why? All these things go through me. And I look back on it now, and God had to be going, oh, brother, this little child of mine that I love, you know, doesn't trust me very much, doesn't know me very well. But I'm just, why, God, why? Bible study time comes, and wouldn't you know, it wouldn't be a night when there's five. The place is packed. I mean, we can barely get them all in there, you know. And we're having a good time and everything, you know, and everybody's, it was a good fellowship, and they're eating their ginger snaps and whatever, everything's great. And then I have to tell them. Just a few hours ago, the Lord told me, this is the last night of the Bible study. What was the question? Why? I don't know why. He won't tell me. I've been asking him for hours, but this is the last one. I won't even tell you because I don't want to embarrass anybody they might remember, but I had several suggestions from people about how we could continue another way. They didn't want it to stop either. But I knew what it was. Do you know Sue and I, for, you know what happened the next week? People showed up. Yeah. And what? And they were there. It's not like they weren't there. They were there. They thought, well, maybe the Lord changed his mind or something. So for the next 2 or 3 weeks, Sue and I had to be gone. We purposely were gone from the house at that time. On that night, till people finally got it, okay, it's really over. It's really over. You know? Now, I'm saying all that to get back to this thing about Abraham, see? I did not know him as well as Abraham did. I'll be perfectly honest. For days, I kept asking him, Lord, why? My conclusion, I thought I got fired. I did. I thought, well, I didn't do it right. He's not pleased with it. Somehow I disobeyed him again. Boy, I let the devil beat me over the head with that for so long. And it's really, be honest with you, I can't even very well remember the 2 or 3 weeks after that. I was so, can I say, disillusioned, so down on myself, so confused. And I was anything but trusting in the Lord, to be honest with you. I'd like to give you a different report. I was just surviving. I felt like I'd been given a body blow by the Lord, you know. As I look back on that now, I'm glad to, well, in my mind, when I'm like this, I can't think of names. Philippines, come. Come here. What? Annie. Come just for a minute. Because I want to make sure I tell this roughly right. I've told it before, but it's been so long. As y'all can tell, this is my sister. Can't you see the resemblance? Can you see this? We have the same father. You can tell, right? Annie is from the Philippines. And she goes back to visit once in a while. And some of your relatives... Now, here, tell that story about that time you found them using...
My brother and I translated the boot camp tape and then made copies and gave it away to the people in the Philippines. And then... And it's still there. And I haven't really been back.
And where did those boot camp tapes originate? That was from the...
From your class.
From the Bible study.
From the Bible study. Yeah. And that really, really helped me a lot when I started here. It was very understandable and applicable. And I can read the confession. Mm. And then I shared it to the people over there. And
so they use the... So they use that, they're still using those lessons from the Bible study to teach new converts and things about the basics.
Yes, they were.
All right. Thank you. She told me that story like 4 years ago. So, you know, in any event, when I thought I got fired, the truth of the matter was God was promoting our ministry. I did not know it at the time. Remember one of the instructions... That I thank God I obeyed this one. He said, record every service. And we did in those days, that old reel-to-reel cassette recorder. I thought at the time it was a money-making deal. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, and now I see how he's going to support us. We're going to sell cassette tapes because everybody was selling their tapes, you know. We're going to sell cassette tapes, and that's how we're... So one of the instructions was don't sell any cassette tapes. God. But I look back on it now. I didn't get fired. He was expanding the ministry. He was, instead of teaching 55 people a week or so at the Bible study in our house, now on a daily basis, I don't even know how many people around the world are being taught based on the internet, based on the MP3s. To me, it's just God has my boot camp in the Philippine language, whatever language that is. I have never been to the Philippines. I don't know if I'll ever get to go to the Philippines. I'm certainly not going to learn the Philippine language, whatever that is. And God's already done it. He's already teaching those same lessons. He liked them well enough. He's still looking to teach people that couldn't find the book of Mark with both hands. He's still doing it. So I look back at it now and I'm going, he just multiplied the loaves and fishes. And then I think, what would have been the consequences of disobedience? What if I had not obeyed him? Well, now, when you've already got 55 people coming to your living room, and the cars are parked for a city block in each direction, what are you going to do when it's 75? What are you going to do when it's 105? What's the next step? You've got to find someplace bigger, don't you? We'd be meeting somewhere. You know, that thing was almost without even me thinking about it, it would have evolved into a little church somewhere that I'd be pastoring almost in the shadow of the prayer center. That is not the will of God. It was not the mind of God. And so, now, if I had done that, he would be blessing that all that he possibly could. That's because that's just who he is. That's what he does. He'll take anything. You can't give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward. He still would have blessed it, but I would have been way out on the edge somewhere of his permissive will, pastoring this little church that was never his mind. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Lean not on your own understanding. So again, I didn't bring them with me tonight. Those prophecies that came forward during the conference, and they're all at Dave's website, by the way. They're all at Dave's website. When he says things in there like, I mean, to those of us, he knew who would be at conference. When he says to us, I need you to pray more. He's talking not only to them, he's talking to us old timers. We're about to come into something. More than once, he said, many of you are about to be pushed out into your ministry. We pray for that. Everybody prays for that. And it's wonderful till he does it. Go into a land that I shall show you what? Can't you show me ahead of time? I could, but I'm not going to. It's called faith. What is that? He said to me that time. He says, I'm always trying to get my children to live by faith. They're always trying to get me to tell them enough where they don't have to. I know. Ow! Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So the faith of Abraham still applies today, see? It's obedience. It's just obedience. You know why he wants you in that prayer closet? More change. It's not the literal hours. He's not keeping track. It's not the hours that we spend in prayer and somehow we're earning our ministry. That kind of thinking has to go out the window. It is the change that every hour produces. It's that increase in love, his love, that it produces. It's that increase in trust. It's that increase in revelation knowledge where you're just not flat so stupid anymore. I'm talking about me. Where I can't be led around by every TV preacher anymore. Bless their darling hearts, you know. But I can't be, like, can't lead me by, take me by the, lead me down the path anymore with that silver-tongued oratory. I know better. Amen? So what he's trying to do is that even more change and get us ready, because he is about to push a bunch of us, I think, out of the nest even more. See, and I've been in a comfort zone now. I mean, I'm almost a little bit apprehensive because I know when you get too comfortable for too long, things are about to change, you know. But, you know, here for a while, we've kind of coasted. In other words, we've been at a certain level, and it's been good, you know. Now, all of a sudden, he says things to me like, be under 200 pounds by conference. Change is coming. Change is coming. Something's about to change. He's got, did he say why? Not to me directly. He told somebody else who told me why. I know it's going to involve more video now. And I think what's about to happen, he's going to promote again. This time more through video, the teachings around the world. Well, my job is to pray and obey. And whatever he says, trust him that he has, that he's faithful, that he cannot lie, that he has my best interest at heart, and he has the kingdom best interest at heart. And no matter what, I cannot get to the place where I lean on my own understanding. I got to trust him. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah.